Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Fans in the Pro, Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister. Before we're getting ready to speak with John Stinchcomb about some Saints and Tampa Bay, also the SEC, went to Georgia. Did you text Drew today? Did you text Drew and make sure he was okay?
No.
I mean, thing, you're talking about something spiraling out of control.
They got the attention that they wanted far as, what was it? I don't even know the entity. But, yeah, the entity got.
Lightning betting or something, right?
Whomever it was, they got the attention that they wanted. And he was down in where? Venezuela? Yeah, he was down in Venezuela. And so, no. Yeah, that would have. They got the attention that they wanted.
They did. In fact, that's all they're getting from this show. Joining the show right now, former Saints lineman Jonathan Stinchcomb. He's a member of the preseason team as well, former University of Georgia player. John, how you doing, my friend? You're on with Mike and Deuce.
What's up, fellas? I'm glad I don't have to worry about lightning strikes over here in Georgia, but appreciate y'all having me on tonight.
Looking forward to it. So I guess before we even get going, because I'll forget, a friend of ours here at the station, Mark, said to say hello to you.
Yeah, Mark. Mark's my guy.
that's an inside joke, but we'll let it go. So if you're a Tiger fan and you're have the odds of 17.5, you've done well in the SEC championship games in the past. I'm going to get my question out of the way, and then I always like to listen to you and Deuce just kind of talk for a little bit. But how does LSU win this game?
Well, I tell you what, if I'm LSU, you got to be excited about the opportunity because you can play fast and loose. The expectations are low nationally, so for a talented team, that's a good position to be in. You don't have the stress and the weight of, there's zero expectations. You are more than two touchdowns, the underdog, and you've got a talented team. And I think I'd feel confident that's what Coach Kelly is preaching this week, is they're underestimating our talent, that we earned the right to represent the West, and now we get an opportunity to prove it. Last week does not matter, and that's true. I mean, if you look at around the SEC, there's no reason why a South Carolina should beat a Tennessee, but yet they did, and beat them in a fashion that was surprising to literally everyone across this country. And that's what happens when you've got an opportunity to go out there and play. And for a talented team like LSU, there's plenty of reasons why they should feel confident heading into this game. Now, you're going up against the best team in college football right now, who's played some good football, and their aspirations are much higher than just winning an SEC championship. But I do think that LSU has every reason to go in this game feeling dangerous, and it's one of those opportunities that is not being taken lightly from this Georgia side of things. But on paper, you can see that if both teams play their best, I think everybody would agree that it's Georgia's game to lose.
But Stinch, you still didn't tell me. You still didn't tell me how do they win?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do what teams have struggled to do against Georgia, and that's move the ball without turnovers. And I think it starts with Daniels. For LSU, they've got to be able to create opportunities for him. and keep possessions and turn, you know, Georgia, when they've struggled, you look at their game against Kent State, you look at their game and struggled, I use that term loosely, against Kentucky or Missouri, where it wasn't the dominant performance, even though they came out on top. And what it was is early turnovers from Georgia's offense.
I mean, that's a struggle. The stints, that's a struggle. I mean, this is you and Deuce talking now. I mean, you can loosen up with me now. I want stints. Yeah. I want stints to be, hey, look, we're in the locker room. We're sitting on the chairs that Sean threw out. You know, he threw them out. But before he threw them out, we're just sitting there chatting. And so, no, I agree 100% with you. Even though Georgia won some of those games, particularly like you talked about the Kentucky and Missouri, from a scoreboard standpoint, it wasn't the dominant way that they've done it. And so for me, for LSU to win, your quarterback Daniels has to be special. And then he's got to make some throws that he probably hadn't made consistently this year. And they've got to be able to create some turnovers. I mean, and that's how they win that game. They've got to get to the fourth quarter of that game still being a contest.
Yep, and you're exactly right. You're going to have to get Georgia to turn the ball over, which they've done at times. We watched the Missouri game specifically, and Missouri starts playing inspired football because Georgia turns the ball over. So you get those opportunities early, and you're going to have to take some shots, man. And Georgia's defense, despite all the guys they lost, they're stacked. They play really good defense. So, you know, if it were me, I'm going to have to challenge some of those cornerbacks to make plays, because you're going to have to come away with points. You can't expect to shut Georgia out and keep their offense out of the end zone. And you're going to have to do what other teams haven't been able to do, and that's stretch the field and take some shots on these DBs and make some plays. And I think LSU has some talent in the wide receiver position, obviously some big names in the depths there, but it's going to be a challenge. I mean, there's a reason why Georgia's the number one team in football, and I've watched them every week, and when they play their best, they are the best team. So LSU certainly has their work cut out for them.
Yeah, and I don't think that you're arguing with anybody when you say that statement. I mean, that's not just being objective. That's not a wild or outlandish statement for you to say when you say that. Here's what's interesting. This will be pretty much, in your opinion and mine, do you give it 85-15 or 80-20 as far as this is a home game for Georgia, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I think it would have been closer if LSU handled business last week. I think you kind of stub your toe right before you head into the SEC championship, and folks are going, maybe I don't want to spend the close to grand that it's going to take me to get a couple tickets and some hotel rooms and go over to Atlanta for a thrashing. So I think it's, you know, 85, I think it's probably 80-20. I think there's some folks that already had that trip planned before last Saturday to come over and enjoy Atlanta, but it's going to be a red and black stadium, no doubt.
Yeah, and so, you know, so you talk about having to work silent count, having to deal with the road, and I agree. You know, I would love if there's a situation early in that game, maybe a fourth and one, or and, you know, it's kind of questionable whether I go for it. I'm going to show my guys that I'm behind them, and we came to win this game. And so I'm not punting. You know, the situation has to warrant it. You can't do that if you're backed up on your own 15 or 10, something like that. But, hey, look, if we're backed up, maybe even on the minus side of the field at the 35-40, and it's 4-for-1, I'm going to say, what do we have to lose, guys? And I agree 100%. Nobody is picking us to win. You know, for us to go out here and just play loose and just go and have some fun and show people that LSU football is back, what do we have to lose? And so to give my guys that confidence as well, that's some of the things that I would not mind doing one bit.
I love it coming from a rebel. Who said, my guys, my team.
Well, I mean, you know.
Oh, I love it.
I have to be a neutral rebel. I have to be a neutral rebel. It's no neutral doubt. Rebel as well. I mean, we don't play this weekend, so you got to cheer for somebody, right?
Hey, I hear you, brother. I hear you. Well, and I expect that very thing. You know, LSU gets near the 40, I'd expect a shot play. You know what I mean? They're coming out with something that they've been working on this season that they haven't shown yet. There's a fake punt that they're going to run. There's some kind of, you know, there's no reason to save these plays, right? If you've got them, you're going to take your shot. If it's fourth and one and, you know, you've got a couple plays that you like, you're going to go for it. So I expect that. And that's the freedom that you get when there's no pressure on LSU. The expectations are so low that you can go and play loose, and that's what I would expect, and I would back my guys 100%, and I'm sure that's what Coach Kelly and his entire staff are preaching, is we get to go out and let it all hang out. There's no reason to save any of our best stuff. We're not keeping any powder dry. We're going to go out there and let them have it.
Well, let's turn the table a little bit. Tell me about what you see in this beautiful 4-8 versus 5-6 Saints versus Tampa. But there's so much on the line. I mean, Bucks can sweep this series for the first time since 2007. Saints haven't lost in Tampa since 2017. Nothing feels right. When you look at the numbers for these teams, nothing feels right. Nothing looks right. But, you know, it's a very important game.
Yeah, I mean, who saw this coming at the beginning of the season? And we're watching preseason, you're going, man, you get this quarterback situation ironed out for the Saints, and things look pretty promising, and I'm sure Tampa was expecting, you know, their postseason aspirations to be filled. And oddly enough, there are still plenty on the table for both teams to play for, and I think that's probably more of a condemnation of the division than anything else, because – yeah, usually in this situation, you look at these season win totals, and you're going, "This ain't it, boys." But yet this year, you think there's still opportunity, there's still life, and certainly isn't an expectation for either team. The organizations have prided themselves, and rightfully so, on being contenders almost on an annual basis, and I'm sure Tom Brady sitting here going, "This ain't what I signed up for, boys. I mean, we were expecting to add rings to my collection." And so you look at this week, and I think it means more to the individual fan bases. Obviously doesn't have the national implications that other matchups will, but there is still so much to play for. As an organization, both of them are proud, and they want to battle week in and week out, and I think that's a testament to the guys they have in that locker room and the organizations and the coaching staffs that say we aren't where we want to be, but by God, each week we get an opportunity to go out there and play our best, and that's what we intend to do. And this is one of those rivalry games. It's not Atlanta, but it means something. And when every time you get an opportunity to beat the Bucs and a team led by Tom Brady, you have to take advantage of that. And I think that's something that you can rally behind and say, we're going to finish this season strong, and this is our first opportunity to do that.
Stinch, I got to ask you just one, and this is not – I don't want people to think that it's making excuses for this current team and their record and their situation. But when you lose a head coach that has been with your franchise for 16 plus years or whatever it is, and then a quarterback that has been the trigger guy for the majority of that time as well, what type of transition would you expect?
I think we're witnessing it. I'll speak for myself, and maybe I'm not alone here, was a little naive to think that the rosters had been built in a way to kind of absorb those losses, right? I mean, the Saints had done a really masterful job of transitioning over these past few years to building up a defense that was really the identity of the Saints these past couple of years. And the offense became the complementary piece to this team. And I think they did that understanding the limitations of an aging quarterback that you're going to have to replace soon. And now we're recognizing what that looks like. And I think it's minimized the role and just the elite level of coaching that you got from that head coach position. And this is no shade thrown at DA for him to come in behind Coach Payton, who had built the organization and the program and the identity in that locker room and the culture at practice to be his. There is a transition that needs to take place. And I think the expectation was, hey, you know, we'll just pick right up where you left off. And that's not the way this game works. It's going to take time for Coach Allen to be able to put his thumbprint on this organization and make it his. And if we're going to be honest, you got to find a solution. You got to find an answer. The NFL is made and driven through one position, and it doesn't all look the same across the league, but until you get that position figured out, you're going to be sledding uphill, and the Saints are obviously realizing that just as much as any other team this year.
We appreciate your time, Jonathan Stinchcomb. I always enjoy looking for you and talking to you in the preseason. Enjoy the weekend of sports, USA, Netherlands, Georgia, LSU. Thanks for your time as always.
Hey, it's a good time, fellas. Always enjoyed it. Appreciate your Hoss and Deuce. Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate it, Stinch.
Got to take a break. Fans and a Pro, WWAMFM.com, and always free on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.